handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You are a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Perk Podcast. I am your host, J.L. Covan. It is 12:19 p.m. Eastern on Monday, September 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2022. I have just finished a cup of green tea with a chocolate croissant from Starbucks. The rest of the diet is planned for today, and it's healthy, but I decided to treat myself instead of dark chocolate and walnuts, which feels like nature taking a shit in your mouth. I thought, let's have a flaky pastry with some chocolate in it with my green tea while I read at my very diverse Bloomfield, New Jersey, technically Glen Ridge, New Jersey Starbucks. Lots of people of different races. And a new addition to the Starbucks is the guy who looks like he was part of the white supremacist gang that did a bunch of murders in the later seasons of Breaking Bad. And I was like, you know what? That's true diversity. You can't just have black women and Latin men and white women and biracial comedy geniuses filling up your Starbucks. Sometimes you need a guy who does enforcement work for a meth cartel. And that's what he seems very nice. He seems like he has a neck tattoo, which when you're a white man over 60 with a neck tattoo, that is, maybe it's not a red flag because maybe you're beyond red flags. It's more of a like, back in the day, I was a red flag. But he gives off a vibe. He's very friendly to everybody, friendly to all genders and creeds and colors in there. So he gives off more of the vibe of like, after I raped and murdered my aunt in 83, I did a bid of 25 years where I found the Lord and knew. You know, just a new path, a more enlightened path. And that's a good thing, that second part, not the rape and murder of his aunt, but the part after is a good redemption story. One day after the prodigal son gospel at Mass. So how about that? Quick plugs, obviously, if you're anywhere near York, Pennsylvania, the ticket link is now up on my website, but I am headlining. Chris Lamberth, friend of the show, friend in real life, is opening for me at this small theater that I got booked at in York, Pennsylvania. That's Friday, October 14th, I think 7:30 p.m. So the ticket link is now up on my website if you are a central Pennsylvania person. I know I had plenty of people in Harrisburg, and I don't think that's too far from Harrisburg, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully you can make the show. And if you're a black guy who tips universe, the BGWTPU, the Black Guy Who Tips Podcast Universe fan, then this is double the reason to come out to the show. So that ticket link is up. And to any of my greater Detroit, Southern Michigan fans, which I know there are plenty, but haven't seen a lot of them in the algorithm, which is always fun. They were got 25 requests for Detroit in 2020, and I don't think any of those people see my posts anymore, but I will hunt them down using the search function and give them the ticket link when it's up. But November 11th and 12th, Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, headlining there for three shows. Can't wait. Have been dying to get back there. Ann Arbor, as I've said, when I was there for the first time headlining in 2019, all I could think was, wow, if I had actually visited this place the way, you know, for law school, the way you visited colleges, like law school is more of like, it's just, it's business training. So it doesn't matter where I am. Michigan's ranked higher than Georgetown, but Georgetown being in DC, it's just sort of, it's got a different cachet, I think, than Michigan. And I had been in a small college town, so I was like, well, Michigan would be nice, but I want to be in like a city. I want to get back to a city. So I loved DC. I hated law school. I'm sure I would have hated it in Michigan. But I got to say, after visiting Ann Arbor, I was like, man, got to say, in a different life, maybe I would have gone to Ann Arbor. Now, my then girlfriend was a medical student at Ohio State, so she wanted me to go to Michigan. And I think the writing was on the wall when I was like, but if I go to Michigan, then all I have is Michigan and a bus ride to Ohio State. And then I'm really locked in here. Like a cell phone contract. My college law school girlfriend was wonderful. But there was definitely some trepidation about that because it was the higher ranked school also. So it's hard not to read a little bit into that. Like, though I do like the idea. I did like taking the train back and forth from home. I didn't commute. I obviously lived in DC, but it was nice to be like a 3-hour train ride from New York whenever I wanted to be back, and weep at how much I hated law school. But yeah, different life. Maybe I'm in Ann Arbor and I, you know, just become a town lawyer, put up a shingle, you know, have numerous affairs with grad students and the occasional older, more discerning undergrad. just kidding, guys. So, back to Ann Arbor, but I don't have the ticket link yet. And it's always a tough thing. For some reason, to get ticket links from clubs. It's like, you got to sell tickets. Okay, would love to. Can you get me a ticket link? I'll reply to this email in 3 to 5 weeks. Okay. Hard to sell tickets when there's literally no way for someone to buy tickets. It's a small thing. But, you know, hopefully we get a ticket link to that soon. And then those are the only gigs I have. I'm doing, Pete Dominic asked me to do a fundraiser in West Nyack. I don't know if it's going to be at Levity Live or if it's just in some other theater or hall or something, but a Democratic fundraiser on October 15th. So when I get home from the York PA gig, I get to go to that. And I don't know the terms of it. I don't know if I'm volunteering my time, or if I'm getting an honorarium. An honorarium would be nice just for the time and travel. I don't need it to be up to my usual $20,000 per private gig amount. But and by the way, $20,000 means a pack of 20 Kit Kats. I hope you didn't think I meant $20,000. No, my rate is 20 Kit Kats is how much I get paid for a private gig. It's good to be back home in failed mediocrity. That is what my comedy career is saying right now. But those are the only gigs on the calendar. I'm going to be emailing for gigs soon, but I've held off because obviously I keep hoping that I will have new news on Half Blackface. But as I wrote on Patreon, this will be the last time I mention Half Blackface on this podcast. Because I need to sort of start thinking in terms of, you know, I need to leave some legal options open, I guess, and I'd rather not create any more of a record than I have, but I need to start thinking about maybe getting a lawyer, because it's reached the point where, you know, I've been tiptoeing for many months. Because I'm dealing with entities that are connected to things like clubs and other bigger entities that I want to work with and want to make money from. And at this point, however, it's starting to feel like my career is over and the help that was supposed to be provided, like the plan A and then the plan B for my special have both fell through, and by no fault of my own. just a combination of ineptitude and frankly, you know, disrespect may seem like a like an active thing, like somebody has to actively disrespect you, but sometimes people can show such little attention to your work that it is by default disrespectful. And this has been, obviously, I've lamented this, and I'd rather not bore you anymore with it, and I'd rather not create any more content around it, because, you know, I'm getting to a point where I think I'm going to need at least to consult a lawyer for advice, for counsel, and for interpreting certain things. But, you know, I leave open the option of, you know, at some point, there's no guarantees, clearly, in this business. You can become famous and still not get an agent or a manager. You can be an excellent comic and not get your emails returned from clubs, for even C-list clubs. So that clearly this business is a very, until you reach a certain level, it is really very random, unfortunately. But I had multiple strategies for the special, and obviously, at a critical juncture, I was lied to. And now I'm getting sort of nothing. So it becomes a sort of, okay, well, if my career is over, then it's not really bridge burning if somebody stole my, like, if the destination is no longer there, then is it really bridge burning? You know, if I'm not going to the destination, then what is a bridge, like, what good is the bridge anyway? But it's just, this is it. You know, you guys, if you've been bored listening to this, you know, the next time you hear from me on the special will be hopefully just an announcement of some kind, either where it's going to be or where you can purchase it or rent it or whatever. But this is it for that, because it's not great podcasting anymore, if it ever was. And you know, I need to sort of be smart now going forward about how I approach this, because for so long I've treated this business as a handshake sort of thing, and I often almost invariably get the middle finger. So it's time to take this, you know, to be more of a lawyer comedian than a comedian lawyer. And but it's a real shame, because you've hurt me. You hear how negative I can be, how realistic I can be, how down on myself. I was down on myself like nobody's business after the second taping, because I thought it was not what the first one was. But then I saw an edit and realized that a lot of that was clouded by my regrets and anger over the first taping. So I was the rare ecstatic after the first taping. But then after some time and seeing the second taping, I was like, you know what? No, this is... only a few people will know the difference. Those are the people who are at the first taping. And I think there's new material in the second taping that will make those first people laugh their asses off. But all in all, anybody who didn't know is just going to go, Jesus Christ, this is a strong as fuck special. This is like really good. I can see why JL was pissed. But now it's like, if this were like a Hollywood movie, I guess I'd be more understanding of like, well, you know, it got greenlit in 2015 and then six people bought it and it got canceled and then a director died. But this should have been out twice by now. Like it's even late in the game for the second taping. That's what's really disappointing. So I just have to see where to go and get some advice on, you know, there's no guarantee, but I do know that damage has been done to my career from this. Maybe only a little bit. Like, that's the thing. Is it, had I been able to release this and not been lied to and released it in February, right, with Billions, and had a publicist kind of do a total reboot of my image and reach that hundreds of thousands of new people with a stand-up comedian who also happens to be the Trump impersonator? Maybe. Maybe that would have been huge. Maybe that would have been exactly what my career needed, and I'd be in a totally different place right now. But of course, that's not guaranteed. But what is guaranteed is if the special never comes out, I certainly can't make any money and do any publicity and grow or expand or even maintain the career that I want and hope to have. So that's the update. That's their final update on it. And the next time you hear from me on it will be, hey, it's out, or hey, the case is going to the Supreme Court. So beyond that, as you can imagine, it's a very frustrating time because I don't have a lot of gigs. I've run through the whole story. So the point is, I think I'm going to take, the rest of this month off from Righteous, PK because I have nothing really of value to share. Obviously I can come up with funny ideas and like, hey, what about this? Isn't this fucking, but you know, half the time I veer into depressing shit. Half the time I'm like a manic, hilarious person. And then the other times, you know, you just sort of, I drag everybody down. So, I'm in the office 3 days a week now, starting tomorrow when you're listening to this, starting Tuesday. So, you know, I think that'll be probably good just to get me out of the comedy space. Because there's really nothing going on in my comedy career, which is, you know, it pains me to say every time because it hurts because I feel like a failure, but it also hurts because it's so fucking perplexing how I've made nothing out of so much. So, you know, and the special, a lot hinged on the special. I'm not gonna lie, like in terms of my mood and that's not healthy, but a lot was riding on it because I had put all my eggs in one basket. Now the thing is as I've said repeatedly, I didn't think I had to put my eggs in one basket. I thought I had like five different fucking successful baskets, but they're all nothing. You know, my acting career probably will be one episode of Billions and that's it. My comedy career will be, you know, 6 to 7 albums that very few people have bought. You know, my legacy will be, I did a funny video in 2020. Like, and that's fine. That's more of a legacy than I had before 2020, but it's like, you look back and you just go, oh, okay. Like no matter how much I produced, no matter how good I was, I'm just sort of, I can't make somebody sign me. I can't make my fans better comedy fans. I can't make comedy clubs reply to my emails. Like I can just do the best I can and hope, but you know, hope is, Half Blackface has done very good work. If I'm not supposed to be, if God or fate or whatever doesn't want me to be a comedian, then the Half Blackface experience has truly been God's work, because it has drained desire, passion, happiness, purpose from me. I don't mean to say everything, but it really, you know, it took me 7 years to sort of come to grips with that comedy wasn't going to work out for me because I was such a firm believer in the opportunities I'd made for myself and the skills that I had developed and the volume of material I had. And it took a long time, but I got there. I moved to Jersey. I took a job at another law firm. And it was just like, I guess, you know, I can do this as a hobby now. It took a long time to get there, but you know what? There's other things to worry about in life and to care about and to do. And 2020 kind of just hit me right in the gut, like in a good way. And I was like, holy shit, I guess I'm in a better place comedically. And it's just, it's not happened. And I'm dumbfounded, I guess. In my best mood, I'm perplexed and dumbfounded. In my worst moods, I'm fucking rage-filled and heartbroken. And that's why I'm going to take the rest of this month off for this podcast. Now, Patreon is much more laser guided in terms of positive content. So there will be, you know, consider this, if you haven't joined or if your credit card lapsed every month, there's like a few people who fall off and then like join back 2 days later when they're like, oh, whoops, when they maybe try to access stuff. But, that stuff's good. This month there'll be another book review, another episode of Mitch McConnell's Cooking, my Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon recaps. I just posted the new one for this week's episode on the Patreon. I did do a Donald Trump reviews the movie Pinocchio on Disney Plus, which I think is probably, it's definitely one of my best Trump videos ever, and it's certainly my best movie review ever. So I think so. That's all fun stuff for $4. If you do the lowest level, you basically get everything except the live chat. So if you're missing me this month or you've been meaning to get to it or you're just curious or whatever, you know, join up now and you won't sort of miss anything this month, because there'll be plenty of stuff there, and it's almost entirely positive and fun, mostly because I'm not talking about myself, so that's helpful. So that's that, and obviously Making Podcasts Great Again, my show with Jay Nog, that will be up every week, of course, for as long as we're doing it, which that's another thing that hinged on half blackface, because I wanted the choice of continuing it or not. And as if my special comes out, then I know I'm reaching all the fans of that show directly, instead of hoping that I can reach them through Twitter or Facebook, which is usually ineffective. So I've been doing that show for, I'd say, 7 more months than I wanted to at the far end, because I thought February of 2022 would be the time where I could make a decision. I could be like, okay, the special came out, it blew up, don't need to keep doing Making Podcasts Great Again, but want to, or don't need to and don't want to, or don't want to keep doing comedy because the special flopped or sucked or something, you know, just or that was poorly received, whatever the case may be. I had a, you know, choose your own adventure sort of thing, and now I'm just sort of stuck in limbo. Okay, that's enough depressing talk. No, I only reviewed it for, I don't remember. I'm doing so much in a weird way that I'm losing track of stuff. I guess I talked about it on the Patreon, but I saw the movie Barbarian in the theater, which was pretty good. It's a very solid horror movie. Well done. Original, like it's a good film. You know, if 7 years from now we're at Barbarian 5, like, we're in trouble. But Barbarian was actually good, and I liked Pinocchio on Disney Plus, and I saw the critics destroying it. I was surprised, and I think I was just in the mood for like something light and fun, and I think visually it's really good. It wasn't as creepy as I thought it was going to be from the short previews I'd seen, but I liked Pinocchio on Disney Plus, the new one, and Barbarian if you're a theater goer. But I can't remember if I said that. I think I said that on the Patreon, so I apologize. Well, if you're not a Patreon person, then this is new news. but if you are, then sorry. And thank you. Let's see. I guess that's really it. I don't think there's anything more to report. You know, basically on my calendar is just the Patreon stuff and work, like day job work. So maybe that'll be good. Get me out of the house, get me doing other shit, get a little more discipline in my daytime. I'm trying to think, and I'm not going to drag this on. I'm legitimately trying to think. I don't want to double over. I want to, like, if people want to join the Patreon, like, there's good stuff there. I don't want to, like, spend my time just repeating the Patreon. But, I think that's it. I don't think this is going to be funny, but it's going to be short. So that's, the opposite of me. You know, short and unfunny. Is there anything else? What did I do? Oh, the U.S. Open. Do you want to hear about that? Nobody wants to hear. I did a lot of funny posts on social media at the U.S. Open, but I actually went to 2 sessions of the U.S. Open over Labor Day weekend, as we do. That's, I think I described. Yeah, I talked about that from the hotel. I got to see Carlos Alcaraz versus... Oh, wait, I saw Alcaraz twice. Jesus. I saw Alcaraz versus Cilic. Is that what I watched? I'm losing my mind. I don't even remember. I think it was Alcaraz-Cilic, but it was a very late match. So we left like halfway through and caught the end of it at the hotel. Was that what the fuck happened? I don't know. And then I watched the Alcaraz-Sinner match, which is like one of the greatest matches in tennis history. And I think it's been great. It's been truly great for tennis, the U.S. Open this year, because you had like Djokovic and Federer not there, which isn't great, but it's, you know, it's great if you need to build up the future of men's tennis. And Nadal got beat by Francis Tiafoe, who's an American, like a black American male tennis player, is a big deal, because that's going to kind of generate, you know, we're obviously a huge market, and as a sort of, you know, rarity in terms of demographics, he did generate tons of excitement. So if he can stay a competitive, like, top 12 to 15 player, if not better, that's good for tennis. You know, you'd like to see him win one, or two or three, He's young. He's 24. Very athletic. Very, very strong player. But he lost to Alcaraz in five sets. But I went to that matchup. I decided to buy the... this I did talk about on the bonus. But I think I talked about it right before leaving. So, spoiler, Alcaraz beat Tiafo. Michelle Obama was in the house. That was cool. It's... The one complaint I have about the U.S. Open, the tennis is great, the grounds are great, the food is great until they run out of it, and then they start serving, like, Wonder Bread as a hot dog bun. If you see my picture on social media, I said, the tennis is fire, but the food has become fire festival. But it was great, incredible tennis. I was annoyed at how few, you know, obviously, there are plenty of Euro people rooting for Alcaraz, and he is the next big thing. But to me, it was like these three white dudes sitting in front of us, Americans, like Upper East Side, eye-banking dudes out for some tennis. God, they were rooting so, like, and I don't mind if you're rooting for Alcaraz, but it was just like, really, you're not even, like I would clap for some Alcaraz plays, because he's amazing. But, like, I would also be pumped for Tiafo. And I was rooting for Tiafo as a patriot. And these guys were like so bummed whenever Tiafoe had a good play. And I'm like, Alcaraz is 19 and has never won a major. It's not like you've been if it was Nadal, like I'd be torn because I'm like, well, Nadal's like my favorite player. Like he's been a superstar for 17 years. So there's a lot more history and bonding there as a fan of the sport. But it was like Alcaraz, no matter how great he's going to be and how what path he's on, it's not like you've been like, oh, I've been an Alcaraz fan since 2010. No, at best, you've been a fan for like a year. And Tiafoe is like historic, like for Americans tennis. It's been such a struggle that I'm just like, so of course I started suggesting like, probably MAGA guys, you know, like tax and immigration MAGA guys or tax MAGA guys who are like, I don't, you know, Trump is funny. I don't agree with everything he says, but like I agree with his economics. And it's like, you think those are his economics? And they were just like, they would look at each other when Tiafoe would get a big point, like, oh, no. And I'd be like, oh, no, what, you unpatriotic, possibly racist sons of bitches? And then he lost, and I was like, God. So I was rooting against Alcaraz in the finals and because of those guys. I was like, I don't want to support the candidate of Upper East Side, lower my taxes, MAGA party. And that guy Rude from Norway, what is he, the next Bjorn Bjorg? He looks like a young, sexy Christoph Waltz. And he was legit. If he had taken that third set, he lost a tiebreaker, and then he got kind of smoked in the fourth set for the most part. But man, if he had taken that third set and it had at least been a five-setter, I felt like the match deserved five sets because it was so competitive for the first three sets. But he lost 3-1. But he was impressive too. Alcaraz just kind of has more of a overall just... He combines all the skills with speed and power. And Rude seems to be like super skilled. And also very calm. Like Alcaraz was losing his cool a little bit in the middle of the match for the first time. But Rude has that Bjorn Bjorg, like, are you a cyborg? Kind of like chill. And then I joked afterwards after hearing him speak and like starting his thank you with like a 9/11 tribute. I was like, okay, my prediction for Rude is he's going to win 4 Grand Slam titles in his career and then become Prime Minister of Norway. So you heard it here first, folks. Well, you read it on my Twitter yesterday if you follow me on Twitter and you're among the 9% of people that follow me that actually see my stuff. But U.S. Open, I feel sad. We watched the whole finals last night and then watched House of the Dragon. But I always feel sad when it's over because it's not really over for them because they, like, it's only 4 months till the Australian Open. But it does. But in terms of majors, it's like this big gap. And I'm not a big tennis network guy, but I just feel like, oh, that's it. Like, as soon as the finals are over, I'm like, I'd like to see more tennis. What's that? No more tennis? Boo. And if just an update on the gambling and JL Jinx, I placed a $200 bet on the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to happen, but I had logic behind it, which was that they have a strong defense, which, as we all know, the cliche, wins championships. So they have a legitimately strong defense, and they drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time since Ben Roethlisberger. Kenny Pickett from, I believe, University of Pittsburgh, who I think was good in the preseason. Now, they opted to start their free agent, Mitch Trubisky, who's kind of a joke because I think he was picked right before Patrick Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think that's worked out too well. But I figured maybe the rookie quarterback comes in and, like, before the league kind of figures out his tendencies through film, what if he just electrifies shit for like 10 weeks and all of a sudden the Steelers are like, hey, we're 11-4 and we have a chance at the division. And then all of a sudden you're in the playoffs and you just have to get a couple lucky bounces and maybe get the right matchups. But they are plus 9,000 to win the Super Bowl when I made that bet. So $200 on the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl, as unlikely as it clearly is, would win me $18,000. So hashtag prayers for Pittsburgh. And Kenny Pickett. And of course, what happens in week one? They pull an upset on the Cincinnati Bengals, who went to the Super Bowl last year. So I'm like, great. And then I read the article and I go, TJ Watt, reigning defensive player of the year for the Steelers, had a pectoral injury. Great. The JL jinx strikes again. So I'm sorry, Pittsburgh, for betting on you. Hopefully you get through this and you win the Super Bowl and we'll all be happy. But if you don't, I'll take the blame. I won't blame the fact that you were picked to be one of like the seven worst teams in the league. I will take the blame. But that's it. That's your gambling update. That's your U.S. Open roundup. And your update on the special that shall not be named until it is ready to be named. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll be back in I'll be back for the free people in October. But I'm going to take a few weeks off of this podcast because it'll eventually devolve into shit I don't want to talk about. And I'm already pledged to you I won't talk about it until it's ready. So thank you for listening. Be sure to join with the Patreon if you are not yet. Give it a try. I think you'll find that you enjoy lots. And I mean, I'm really cranking out a lot of stuff over there because that's what I do when I'm bored. I make comedy. But also, if you're not, you can go check out Making Podcasts Great Again while that still exists. So thank you. I hope you have a nice week, everybody. I hope thoughts and prayers, legitimately, not just passively, to those lost and those who lost on 9/11. 21 years, it's like a long time ago, but it doesn't feel that long. So that's it. That's what you want out of a comedy podcast. JL, how can you make your podcast even more dreary? How about a sign-off about 9/11? Perfect. Okay, guys. Be well. Be safe. And I will see you in a few Tuesdays. How about that?